Let us prepare our hearts with prayer. Speak to us, Lord. Speak to us in the waiting, the watching, the hoping, the longing, the sorrow, the sighing, the rejoicing. Speak to us by your word in these Advent days, and walk with us until the day of your coming. Amen. Today we have two scripture readings. The first one I'm going to read is our Old Testament scripture from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. Listen to the word of the Lord. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And then our New Testament scripture comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of God of heaven is come near." This is the one whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Judean. They were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So this season of Advent, this time of preparation for Christmas, many of us prepare our homes by adding decorations. As I look around my neighborhood there in Hamlet, I see all kinds of people putting lights outside. It seems to, in the midst of the growing darkness of this season, it prepares this kind of beacon to say we still have hope. We also decorate off on the insides of our homes with Christmas trees, with different things. Well, in the past, my family, we've had a tradition of doing all of this on one weekend, and we would, when the kids were little, we would even go out and cut down a tree and bring it back and set it up and put the lights on it and then put all the ornaments on it. We often listened to Handel's Messiah as we did this. That was one of our traditions. And then we would put other things in the house, and we'd put some lights out front, and then we would fall down exhausted. So many of you may have had the same experience. Well, this year I've done things a little bit differently, because our kids are off at college, and so we have this luxury of time to be able to do one thing a day, a little bit here, and then put that box away, a little bit there, put that box away. I got that idea actually from the church. So you may have noticed that last week we had our Advent wreath here, And this week we have an additional things. And then this afternoon we'll have even more. And as we get closer to Christmas, we'll add the poinsettias. As the closer we get, the more you visually feel and see the joy that is coming. Because we know what happens on Christmas Day. So I've had that joy of being able to do that a little bit slowly, and that has helped me to be able to prepare in a different way. So we prepare the church, we prepare our homes, but Advent also tells us that this is a time when we prepare our hearts and we prepare our lives. These two passages we read tell us this call to prepare the way of the Lord, to make his paths straight. In Matthew, we read that it is John the Baptist who is in the wilderness, and we hear that. Well, who is this John the Baptist character? We're introduced to John the Baptist in all four Gospels, which in and of itself is a little unusual, that John is the one who calls the coming of Christ and tells us. Imagine John, the way that they describe, was kind of the MVP preacher of his day. He was like the Billy Graham. And people flocked from all over. The Gospels tell us they flocked from all areas to come and to hear John the Baptist preach and to be baptized, which is where his name comes from, John the Baptizer. He was a very colorful cat character. We are described his clothing as that he wore clothing of camel's hair and a leather girdle. Kind of give you this wild man look already, right? And that he ate locusts and wild honey. Now, I love honey. I'm not so sure I'm going to go for the locusts, though. So he has this kind of wild man feeling to him. He clearly, because of the locusts and wild honey, you can get the feeling that he, like the Israelites, when they were wandering in the wilderness, he depends upon what God provides for him. He's a prophetic character. Some scholars say that he is, in the New Testament, the beginning of a new prophetic line. Others say he's actually an extension of the prophets from the Old Testament, an extension of that prophetic line. He dresses a lot like, if you read back, he dresses a lot like they described Elijah. But he sounds a lot like Isaiah, or maybe even Amos, when he makes his prophetic calls. All four Gospels introduce him as the fulfillment of the passage from Isaiah that I read to you today. In Isaiah, we read, "A voice cries, 'In the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.'" And then we have that parallel in Matthew where it says, "For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" Did you guys catch the difference in those two? It's actually pretty remarkable, and it reminds me, to give you an idea of how important it reminds me of a meme that I've seen recently on Facebook about the importance of punctuation, probably shared by one of my grammar police friends. I have several, and it has this little saying that says three words, "Let's eat, grandma." And one of them, it has a comma, "Let's eat, comma, grandma." And the other one says, "No comma, let's eat, grandma." Punctuation does matter. And in this instance, we have this change. One says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." The other one says, "The voice of one crying, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." The second one is the one really more that Isaiah would suggest. It is in the wilderness that the highway of our Lord is to be made, the valleys lifted, the mountain made low, the uneven ground made level. Both of them call on us to prepare the way of the Lord. This idea of wilderness, it is both a literal wilderness and a figurative wilderness. John the Baptist is literally in the wilderness of Judea. He's near the Jordan, the Dead Sea. When I think of wilderness, I sometimes remember this particular camping trip that my husband and son went on. They went to Jones Gap It's in South Carolina, a state historic site, and they were doing primitive camping. And looking at the little map, they thought that they would go up a little hill and there'd be a camping site, and then a little bit further. We'd only been camping where you were camping around other people. Well, they got there and they started hauling their stuff up this hill, and about a half a mile later, they found their site. And there wasn't anybody else for another half a mile. It took them a couple of trips just to get all their things up there. They got everything unpacked. They got the tent set up. They finally got a fire started. And Dan said that the darkness began to come. And it got darker and darker. The fire's nice and strong, and they were fine. And he said he thought it was as dark as it was going to get. And then it got about 5 shades darker. He'd never experienced that kind of darkness except being in the middle of a cave. And there was nobody nearby. You knew you were a long way. You had hauled the stuff up, so you knew that you were a good 15-minute hike down to get to anybody. The feeling, he said, of not just the darkness, but the isolation, this fear, because even though you know that there's not a whole lot to fear in that particular location in the mountains of South Carolina, your brain doesn't always go with what you know. So sometimes he said, you know, he sat there and he felt like any minute Bigfoot should just come out and sit down next to them around the fire. There's just this sense of isolation and fear and darkness that he felt. Well, that was literal, but it's also figurative. Sometimes the wilderness is this wild place, lonely and scary. And sometimes it is also wilderness that we experience in our lives. In Isaiah, the Babylonian exile had just happened. After years and years and years of the prophets saying, please repent. Repent, repent, repent. Please turn away from these idols that they were worshiping, from these ways of doing things. Well, after years and years and years of ignoring the prophets, the hammer has fallen and they have been taken into exile. They are now living as refugees on the edges of Babylon with all the things that you can imagine. They've lost everything. They've lost their home. They've lost their livelihoods. Many times they've lost relationships and they're hunting for relatives. They have no security, no future. They're filled with regret. They're filled with fear that they will never be able to go back to what they had before. Now, sometimes we also live in this kind of wilderness. It might not be that we have lost things as extreme as they did, but we've lost something and we're filled with regret. We're filled with fear. We're filled with isolation or loneliness or darkness. And it is into this wilderness that the voice cries out a message of hope and peace. I'm reminded of Jim's newsletter article. If you didn't have a chance to read it, it's wonderful, so please go read it. He talks about, in the opening words of Handel's Messiah, you have the orchestra give an introduction, and then the lone tenor stands, and he sings these opening words, comfort ye my people. He doesn't begin with a proclamation. He doesn't begin with a Christmas song, a Christmas carol. He begins with the words of comfort. Comfort me, ye my people. It is into the brokenness of the people that these words come from Isaiah. For the Israelites, God would and God did bring them home. They did not know that at the time. But God is working in their lives. God comes and takes them back to home. Their worst days are not their last days. They hear the words that even when they feel abandoned, God is working for their return. That even in the midst of the darkness, the isolation, the fear, the wilderness, that God can and does provide peace that passes all understanding. It is like Yahweh, God, marching into Babylon and saying to the powers there, you took my people. Well, I let you take them. But I am taking them back home. In all four of the Gospels, John the Baptist is presented here as a prophetic figure. And we have to try to remember what are some of the things that the prophets did in the Old Testament. And one of them, one part of that prophetic task, was to identify the coming king. The kingdom has not yet been restored, and so John the Baptist announces the coming of Jesus, the true king. He announces this with a call for repentance. It comes from the Greek metanoia, which is not just regret or saying you're sorry or feeling bad about something, but it's literally turning away from a past way of life, inaugurating a new way of life, turning away from anything that leads us away from God, turning toward those things that lead us toward God, making straight a path for God is how John the Baptist words it. Sometimes we read this as living life on the straight and narrow with restrictions, kind of like when you go bowling and you have those bumpers on the side, or at least I still do because I'm not very good. But it is actually worded a straight path for our God. Perhaps preparing this path, perhaps making sure that we are turning ourselves toward the things of God, worship and prayer, reading scripture, living life with others, serving others, being in community. Perhaps those things open the highway or path that prepares us for the time when God marches against the things of the wilderness and returns his people home. This time it's not Yahweh marching on Babylon to release the exiles, but him marching to defeat sin and death so that every exile will come home. Last week I played a song for you, the dream Isaiah saw. You may remember the chorus that said, "Little child whose bed is straw, make new lodging in our heart. Bring the dream Isaiah saw." Well, the verses also told us parts of that dream. And let me read for you some of those lyrics written by Tom Troger. "Lions and oxen will sleep in the hay. Leopards will join with the lambs as they play. Wolves will be pastured with cows in the glade. Blood will not darken the earth that God made. Nature reordered to match God's intent. Nations obeying the call to repent. All of creation completely restored, filled with the knowledge and love of the Lord." Hear that again. "Nations obeying the call to repent. All of creation completely restored, filled with the knowledge and love of the Lord. In the kingdom of God, all will be restored. Sin and death will no longer have the last word. Pain and sorrow will fall away. We will no longer wander in the wilderness of darkness, isolation, and fear. This restoration will come to pass in Jesus, the true King." John the Baptist preached in the wilderness, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Or as Isaiah put it, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." So, children of God, I ask you, in what way are you preparing the way of the Lord? Not just our homes or our church, but also our hearts and our lives. In what way are you preparing? By helping to provide food to those who are hungry so that their bodies will be fed? By bringing others to worship so they can have their spirits fed? By speaking a word of hope and peace into the brokenness of the world? By working radically for justice so that all might know God's forgiveness and providential care? By joining in whenever, wherever you see God at work, so that we can help make the world look a little less like the wilderness and a little more like heaven? by turning away from anything that takes you from God, including those times that we think, I'm not enough. I can't make a difference. I've made too many mistakes. I've used up all my chances. I'm too broken for God, or I've gone too far away. Children of God, God through Jesus has stared death, failure, sin, defeat, fear, loneliness, isolation, darkness, anything that comes between you and God. He has stared them in the eye. He has said, this one is mine, and she's coming home. This one is mine, and he's coming home. This one is mine, and they are coming home. Thanks be to God.
Please stand as you are able.